Welcome to the Behavior Corner Podcast with Barb Rova. Barb created the Behavior Corner after almost two decades of working side by side with families to improve their children's behavior. This is a supportive place for parents to come together to learn how to manage powerful emotions, negative behavior choices, and the chaos that we experience along our parenting journeys. In the Behavior Corner, we share professional, practical, and positive parenting advice. These are the tools that will give you a strong foundation to make positive behavior changes in your children a reality. Get ready. This is going to be great.
Welcome to this edition of the Behavior Corner. Today in the corner, we are asking the very important question, is my kid normal? Yes, I said normal. And if you could see me right now, I have quotation marks going on with my fingers. I'm doing some air quotes over here. Because normal is so subjective. As we go along in our topic today, you're going to hear the range of what is considered normal, especially in the areas of your child's behavioral development. But before we dive in to what is, quote, normal, I want you to take a very deep breath as a parent and know that it will be just fine. And I say this from personal experience. I was that parent that had to take a deep breath and know that if I just gave my child a little bit more time, we would be just fine. That's because every child is unique and every child is going to develop at their own pace. Whether we're talking about physical growth, developing fine motor skills, gross motor skills, developing academically, socially with their friends, or behaviorally. Every child is different. And we are not in the business of comparing one child to the next because each one will reach their developmental milestones in their own time. The most important thing, though, that I encourage parents to do is to provide an enriching home. Because in an enriching home, these developmental milestones, which deems our children normal, can develop and grow. This enriching and loving home fosters the growth that our kids naturally go on. I see children who come from homes that are enriching develop much more on time, some even ahead of time, in the realm of what is considered normal. And there are a few things that you can do to make sure that your home is one of these enriching homes. The first thing is to do things with your children. Do things with them. Spending time together in activities and bonding will help your children develop a secure attachment, which will then result in them being able to problem solve independently as they grow, make positive life choices, show empathy toward others, and of course have a more positive relationship with you as their parent. Will that relationship always be perfect? Of course not. You have to be their parent, and they're not always going to be happy with the decisions you make for them. That is okay, because they're actually looking for those boundaries and structure from you, even when they're expressing that they're not happy with them. But of course, now I digress into another topic. So bringing it back, we want to do things with them to help foster that secure attachment between us and them. Here's a few ideas for you to help with brainstorming what you can do with your kids, even above and beyond what you're already doing with them. My all-time favorite is to read with them. And for those of you who have especially young children, put them on your lap. I remember sitting in the rocking chair with both of my sons and we would rock. They would be sitting with me and we would be reading a book. It was amazing. Adding that element of physical touch and physical closeness also helps with the bond. So read with them, snuggle with them. Make sure you tell your kids, I love you, multiple times a day. Even adding on, I love you no matter what. I love you forever. It goes a long way, guys. Say it, say it, say it, and show it with those hugs and those kisses and those snuggles. Even my oldest child will still let me give him hugs. Not all the time, but on his terms, I can, which is so amazing for me as a mom. And it still is expressing that physical love, that physical touch that I'm relaying to him, which is great for that secure attachment to keep that going. The other way that I encourage you to spend time with your kids is to provide positive discipline, boundaries, and consistency. I alluded to this just a minute ago, that your kids want those boundaries. They want the expectations to be set. When you're able to have consistent expectations and follow through on the rules that you have established for your children, it helps them feel safe and secure because they know what's expected of them. They know what to expect from you in way of your reaction based on their behavior. They know that their parents are consistent in their parenting. So now I no longer need to wonder if what I'm doing is right or wrong and what the response of my parent will be. This goes extremely far in raising kids when we can be consistent with them. And positive discipline, by that I mean teaching your kids right from wrong. And when they mess up, because believe me, they will, you need to decide how you will teach them to learn from that experience. That is discipline, my friend. Teaching your children to do better next time and why we want to make different choices so that they don't mess up again. Discipline is teaching, and when we do it in a positive way, it will help our children continue to grow in their developmental milestones. I have other ideas for you to help with that enriching home and secure attachment. Do what you say you will do, because this equals trust and, again, security within your kids. Follow through. If you say you are going to go shopping with your teenage daughter, go shopping with her. If you say to your young child, cleanup is in 5 minutes, then make sure in 5 minutes you're cleaning up with them or telling them to clean up depending on their age. And if they're resistant to that, you give them a warning and you tell them it will be time out if they don't clean up. And if they don't clean up, follow through with that time out. However, if we flip it to the positive and they know if they clean up and they listen to that direction the first time asked, they get a sticker on their chart that you have created for them, then follow through and give them their sticker. Say and doing, when that matches, when your words and your actions match, your kids know that they can trust you, whether it has to do with a consequence or a promise you made. Doing what you say you will do helps overall behavior. Yes, it helps trust and that attachment, but it helps your kids learn that what you say is gold. So they better listen to you the next time you say something, or they know to rely on you when you tell them that they're going to do something with you in the future, because your words and your actions match. The last suggestion I have for you to help with this enriching home environment is to talk with them and include them in family conversations. There are many decisions that families need to make together. And if it's age appropriate, I highly encourage you to include your children on that conversation. And what do I mean by age appropriate? Well, all of my listeners have different age children, so you'll have to make that decision yourself. However, I don't ever foresee a time that your children need to be part of the discussion of finances that you have with your spouse, or an argument perhaps involving your kids in trying to get them on your side or your spouse doing the same. Including them in that conversation and those kind of decisions are inappropriate. I throw those out there as examples though, specifically because I have worked with parents who have already involved their children in conversations like that. And I highly encourage against that because your children's brains are not yet able to function as an adult brain would. So to be pulled in to heavy adult situations like those that I just listed is not only unfair to your child because it's almost like they have to pick sides and they have to try to make decisions to please you, yet they really don't have the life experience to do so. And it creates a level of insecurity now, because now they're unsure of how to proceed. However, they would very much like to be part of conversations in your home, such as activities for the weekend, such as the order that some chores may need to be done. What kind of movie would you like to rent tonight? Hey, what did you think about? And go ahead and have that conversation. Some of the best times to have a conversation with your kids is riding in the car. Just bringing things up randomly. It doesn't even need to be about a specific situation. But talking with them and engaging with them in conversation is providing them an enriching environment. Especially toddlers. Yes, I said toddlers. Talking with them. Even if you're not able to carry on a lengthy conversation, pointing things out and exposing them to language is super important. So I encourage you, again, to provide that enriching home, to grow those developmental milestones within your kids. And again, the way to do those are read with them, give them plenty of I love yous, use positive discipline, boundaries, and consistency. Do what you say you will do, which will build trust and security, and talk to them and include them in family decisions. The second way that I encourage you to provide an enriching home for your kids so that those developmental milestones can develop, quote unquote, normally, is to be a role model. Ask yourself, do I want my kids to show respect? Do I want my children to take responsibility for their actions? Do I want them to develop in all areas of functioning? Yes, of course you do. Then show them how. I laugh a little bit when I think of the phrase, children don't develop spontaneously. They don't just poof one day and they're developed and they know what to do. That's why they have us as parents. Their development happens throughout life and is heavily influenced by what we are exposing them to in their environments. So be that role model for them. Show them how to act behaviorally. Show them how to navigate life. And yes, I am putting this on you because they are your children. And I'm sure you guys are thinking right now, hold on, you told me at the beginning to take a deep breath and all this would just be fine. Yes, it will. It will, because you are in control of this. You can make decisions and enrich your home for your kids. So yes, take that deep breath and know it's going to be okay. I started telling you a little bit as our podcast today commenced that I had to take a deep breath when my youngest was little. And by that, I mean, when I had one of his well visits, I was told that he was delayed with his speech. And we needed to seek out a specialist, and I left with these referrals and feeling very uneasy about what I needed to do next. So my ultimate decision, after thinking about it and discussing it with family members, is I just gave him a little bit more time. I consulted with a few people, few specialists in the field, and I started to work with him as his mom. Remember I said how you guys are in control of making this stuff happen? I took control. I started doing targeted activities with him, and I made them into a game so that we would have fun as we learned. We would have fun and we would bond as I was helping him to develop. And you know what? We never had to seek out services for him. Now, I'm not saying every situation will end that way, but I am telling you that because I really do believe in taking that deep breath and just processing for a few days and then making a decision on what you think is best for your child. And sometimes all it takes is a little bit more time to develop a skill and things level out. It doesn't always mean you need to call in the specialists. In some situations, sure, you may get to that point, and that is okay. That's what those people are there for. And yes, if you go down that road, you keep breathing, my friend, and you keep enriching your children. You will get there. You will arrive. And so here we are. We've arrived on our podcast to take a look at specific guidelines for your children based on age. And I want you to keep in mind a word I just used, guidelines. These are guidelines for an age range of children, which means that the behaviors that I'm about to list under each age range is exactly that, a range. You would expect to see these developmental milestones occurring within this range. If you are seeing specific behaviors that I list a little bit early, great. If you end up seeing them a few months after the maximum age, that is okay too. Remember my air quotes, normal. Every child is unique. These are guidelines just for us to keep in mind so that we can monitor as our kids grow. It's okay if it's a little early, and it's okay if it's a little late. There is wiggle room here, guys. So here we go. For all of you who have children ages 2 to 3 years of age, I want you to know, sharing is hard for them. Don't expect your children, when they are 2 to 3 years old, to share with others. In fact, even when they're 4, it's still difficult. The demand for independence in the 2 to 3 year old is starting to increase. And they are testing you, my friend. They are getting their own little personalities and they are testing. And they want to be able to do everything themselves, putting their clothes on, buckling their car seat. And I remember, man, that took extra time and a lot of patience, but it's normal. They also start to become interested in friendships, although they don't know yet how to be a friend, hence sharing is hard. They are starting to show interest in spending time with others, other kids their age. They enjoy helping. However, their ability to remember and follow rules is very inconsistent at this age, so expect that. Also, the 2 to 3 year old is not able to use emotional regulation skills yet. They're not able to process when things aren't going well in their life, to act in a calm way. They're going to display aggression when they're angry. They're going to have temper tantrums. That is normal. But you know what else is normal for the 2 to 3 year old? Giving plenty of hugs and kisses. So we have this huge range of behaviors going on in the 2 to 3 year old. All normal. And like I alluded to, some of these even spill over to the 4 to 5 year old. When your children reach that magical age of 4 to 5, they're starting kindergarten. And their friendship skills are still developing. Their ability to follow rules and directions improves, although they still need plenty of reminders and positive and negative consequences. They will continue to show frustration when things don't go their way because they're still learning the coping and the emotional regulation skills of life. They're going to use a range of emotions to express how they're feeling. They love positive praise, and they're enjoying friendships more and more. The 4 to 5 year old, they love to pretend and use their imagination. And they can even start to read body language accurately. So their ability to interact socially is starting to take off at this age. It's really fun to watch. Now we go to the 6 to 7 age. They become a better sport when they're interacting with their friends. They're able to follow directions better. They're better able to be flexible with changes in their lives. And we start to see them to become attached to other significant adults in their lives, like teachers, coaches. Peer pressure begins to build in, and they want to please their peers. And they start to begin to be concerned with how their peers view them. You may even start to see a little bit of anxiety in your 6 to 7 year old. And they have thoughts of, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? And their ability to solve conflicts and to empathize is continuing to develop at this age. Not perfect. They still have a lot to learn. But their minds are open to understanding what it means to be empathetic and how they could solve conflicts with others. 8 to 9. All of you out there that have an 8 to 9 year old, this is what to expect. Many of these children have a hard time with patience. I think that is true all the way up in life. But especially here, the 8 to 9 year old, you're going to see that they have a hard time waiting. I even still see this in my 10-year-old. When he really wants something, it's hard for him to stop talking about it. He can't wait till it arrives. He is impatient. Not all the time, but I can still see that in him. Remember, there's wiggle room in here. The 8 to 9 year old thrives with routine and having one-on-one time with parents. I feel that that is also true for all of the ages that we've already spoken about. So remember, there's a lot of ebb and flow here with what to expect. Many 8 to 9 year olds enjoy organization, especially when we're talking about school. Friendships are very important to the 8 to 9 year old. And you may see that their friendships are on again and off again. That is normal. They're friends one day, not the next day. That is something that begins to happen more frequently when your kids are in this age range. However, they are able to use appropriate social behavior, and they can show empathy and use positive coping skills. We do see, though, that the stress and the what-ifs that we talked about in the 6 to 7 year old starts to increase. They start to get more of a sense of real-world dangers. And the stress from school and extracurricular activities in their own personal lives start to increase. There's something else I want you to keep in mind for your 8 to 9 year old. They're starting to become curious about the opposite sex in their life, and just basic curiosity. They may start talking to their friends about girls or boys. They're not interested in dating yet, just their curiosity starts to be piqued. And as we flow into the 10 to 11-year-old, they are especially worried about what others think of them. They want to please others. They want to impress their friends. They are big into testing the rules and boundaries. And I can tell you, I have seen this from my 10-year-old recently. I'm going to see how far I can push this. And I'm going to see if my parents are going to hold true to their boundaries and expectations. They are continuing to look to you as their parent, as a role model. They may even develop a first-time crush. Remember that curiosity that was starting to be seen around 8 to 9 years of age? Here comes the crush, although they're not quite sure what that means yet. They do take pride in doing well in school and pleasing you as their parents. The 10 to 11-year-old, they enjoy to start having some privacy right now. But I highly recommend all parents monitor that privacy. For example, there are no screens behind closed doors in my house. There are too many dangers on the internet that I feel kids can gain access to when not supervised. But if your kids would like to have privacy to do their homework, to read a book, to play a game, to draw, great. But that privacy does not involve a screen at this age. Also keep in mind those real world fears. Those are continuing to cause some anxiety for your kids. So be prepared to have conversations if you start to see that. So how about the 12 to 14-year-old? They become moody. Yes, we start to see the range of moods infiltrate into our homes when we're talking about the 12 to 14-year-old. They are getting even more pressure to perform well in school, impress their peers, and even their self-confidence could be suffering. Puberty begins, and self-image concerns are seen during this age range. They like to hang out still with same-sex peers. However, they are now open to including the opposite sex into that group that they're hanging out with as friends. The 12 to 14-year-old is continuing to strengthen the bond they have with their friends, and their loyalty to their friends increases. They are seeking peers that have the same moral set as their family, which is still very reassuring to us parents. And they're emotional, and they become frustrated when they try to deal with too many things in their lives, too many demands, too many social problems. So again, be on the lookout for those, for when your 12 to 14-year-old may need some support from you. And be aware that they are still looking to you as their ultimate role model, and they need your love and your affection. They start to pull away as they become more rude. Continue with those I love yous. Continue with those bonding experiences. Remember, this age group is becoming moody and their emotions are up and down. But you can be consistent and you can continue to be that supportive parent. How about the 15 to 18-year-old? Wow, we have reached adulthood at the end of this age range. Yes, your kids grow that quickly. In this age range, we see that they do not like it when their parents impact their independence. However, my friend, you are still the parent, and your job is to keep your child safe. So keep that in mind. In this age range, you will see sadness or depression. If that sadness or depression goes on for more than 2 weeks, that is something you need to consult your child's doctor about. Frequent changes to their style and their routine helps them to find independence. You will also notice that conflict increases between you and them. They still want your love and acceptance, but they try to hide it. And they definitely side with their friends over their parents. And yes, dating is very common in this age range. So I'm wondering, what do you think? Is your child, quote unquote, normal? It's very helpful and actually very popular to take a look at developmental milestones as you're parenting your kids, because we all want to know, are things going in the right direction? Am I doing the right thing? What could I be doing differently? How is my child functioning? All very important questions. And I wonder if perhaps those very questions are why the developmental milestones that I have listed on my website are the most frequently visited pages. I mention that because I encourage you to go check those out. My website is behaviorcorner.com. And on those developmental milestone pages, you will find what is considered normal in those age ranges that we just discussed. But there's many more that I did not include on this podcast. There are intellectual developmental milestones listed. There are social developmental milestones listed, and even more behavioral developmental milestones. So I encourage you, go take a look at that. Again, that website, behaviorcorner.com. Check out the developmental milestones for your children. Read a little bit more about that, and even check out the page on positive discipline. We referenced that early on when we were talking about that enriching home that you can provide for your children as they develop and grow.
Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Come and visit us on our other social media platforms, including our fan page found on Facebook, Behavior Corner LLC, and our amazing closed group where even more goodness happens at Raising Kids, Behavior Solutions That Work. And of course, a shout out to Barb is always available at barb@behaviorcorner.com.